Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back. It is the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I don't know how you made it through the weekend without our scintillating information that we place on the air, the polarization.
What is scintillating?
The whataboutism.
Does that mean we're doing the show without clothing?
I hope not.
So do I.
We are going to talk about somebody doing something topless today.
Yes, we are.
We have a couple of items in the news today. Of course, it is the week of impeachment hearings in Washington, D.C., so if you have a question or an observation about that, that would be fair game. We have a woman who received a pretty decent settlement from the police after she appeared topless and then was arrested, but it's kind of held her up to a little bit of scrutiny, but she says she's going to go topless again because it's legal, I guess, is why. We have one item from Franklin and Marshall College where students were appropriating cultures and of course, as you know.
You mean Halloween costumes.
Right,
oh, we can't have that. No.
Did say to Joe that it wasn't all that long ago that almost anything went on Halloween, but now I guess you have to be pretty culturally aware as you dress up at Halloween. So we have that in the news.
So I couldn't go as a Native American. Cowboys and Indians would be out. Cowboys would be okay.
I guess.
What if a Native American dressed up as a cowboy? Would that be cultural appropriation?
I guess it could be anything that would in any way be called upon to ridicule a culture. That is out. That's sound advice every day of the year. But something that honors and raises up and shows respect for a culture,
What is Halloween? I mean, it seems to me that it's supposed to be a fun time where you dress up as something you aren't. Mm-hmm. But now there are limits to what it is you may not be. You may not be this, you may not be that, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, the fun's gone out of Halloween, really. It's turned into, I don't know.
Well,
suppose you go as a ballerina. You know, is that offensive to ballerinas?
It depends on what you do, I suppose. Well, okay, so that's probably
a
good example.
Dance.
That's a pretty good example, because if you do something that makes fun of, well, but ballerina is just an occupation and a career and a lifestyle, but it's not a culture, it's not a race.
Well, you just said it was a lifestyle.
Well, ballerinas have a certain lifestyle to stay, you know, in shape and professional and so on, I guess.
So a chubby young lady going as a ballerina would be an offense to ballerinas.
I wouldn't think so. There are plenty. Fortunately, nowadays, there are plenty of dancers of all shapes and sizes, and it's we're back to normal in terms of depicting these kinds of things. So,
well, you know, Sean Spicer's doing well on Dancing with the Stars.
He is, not the day I saw him.
Well, I mean, he's not getting voted off the island. Well,
oh,
he should have been voted off the island a long time ago.
No, I never watched that show, never, ever. But for some strange reason, I saw he was on. I thought I had to watch it. I thought he did satisfactorily. He's not a vibrant dancer, but he did okay.
He was dressed in the one photo I saw, and I guess it was, who was it? The guy on MS, on
Dancing with the Stars.
HBO. John Oliver made fun of him because he showed a shot of him in some Calypso costume. Now, wouldn't that be offensive to Hispanics?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be cultural appropriation? Wouldn't that be taking away their
mode of dress? Well, like I said,
did
it portray them in a light that's respectful and honoring? You know, I think it's making fun of somebody like if
you were.
But isn't
that what Halloween was?
If you it used to be, but now we're trying
suppose
to be a little
I
bit
dressed
more
up
inclusive.
As a hobo. Is that being offensive to the homeless? Would that be no longer permitted?
I don't know. Is that a race or a religion?
I don't know, but it's disrespectful to some people. You know, the story that caught our attention was out of Franklin and Marshall University.
Well, yeah, let me introduce the show, and we'll let you read what you have. You have something from Penn Live, or we're just going to discuss it.
We're just going to talk about it.
There's one paragraph in the AP there. We'll read that on the air. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open now, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about some of the dust-ups that have heard occurred around here after Halloween when various people dressed as various things. Also, Bloomsbury University, somebody depicted a slave auction, and that prompted a protest last week. Throughout our program, you can call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you are not signed up for Text Connect, that's your opportunity to receive via text or cell phone pager and breaking national local news, weather warnings, not just weather watches, but weather warnings or major closed roads around here. That's what we send out via Text Connect. But you have to give us your cell phone. We do not sell it, misuse it. We don't sell you anything. We just hold on to it tight. And then when there's breaking news, we send you a note. You can join the thousands of people now signed up for Text Connect at WKOK.com. But it's two-way communication. You can also reply to a message or start up a new one at 70236. And we'll read your message on the air. The Text Connect in-basket is empty at the moment, but it will be populated by sharp remarks criticizing me from Stan as our show progresses.
Okay. Well, this is the story.
That's reality. That's the real introduction.
Right. This is the story out of Lancaster. A Pennsylvania college basketball game was postponed after a pregame protest on the court by students objecting to Halloween costumes allegedly worn by several school athletes. Scores of students sat on the Franklin and Marshall College basketball court for 10 minutes Friday night until an announcement was made that the game against York College was being canceled. The students said they were offended by photos circulating on social media showing five students, said to be members of the men's basketball and soccer teams, wearing costumes the protesters charged embodied Asian, Hispanic, and African stereotypes. The college has previously announced it was conducting a campus climate survey, hiring a director of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and creating a bias reporting system to be in effect for the spring 2020 semester.
You should have already had all that stuff, especially an inclusion person. That's been going on, especially on college
campuses. Why do you need somebody to help you include? You either include or you don't include.
Well, I think you have to make an effort to make sure that you're talking to people about what like we asked.
This is over five Halloween.
We have
Halloween
a lot of unanswered
costumes.
Questions.
Five Halloween costumes prompts the hiring of a
this
diversity.
This has been a long time coming in Franklin and Marshall.
Well, I mean, so what? They canceled the basketball game. What good did that do?
Well, I think it probably made it clear that they couldn't conduct it with protesters on the court.
And it's because they were offended. But, you know, how many? What were the costumes? I didn't see the costumes. They didn't have any pictures of them.
I would imagine that if it is goes against the university guidelines, it must have somehow made fun of people, not held them up in a respectful manner, or it was based on stereotypes, an Asian stereotype.
Okay, suppose I dress up as a member of a chain gang wearing a prison uniform with black and white stripes and one of those old balls
right,
hanging around
on a chain. Yeah, you know you're over 50 if you know what that is.
Yeah, am I engaged in a racial stereotype?
Why?
Well, because the stories of black chain gangs in the South.
Black chain gangs, okay.
You know, if I don't paint my face black, am I still being culturally insensitive?
I don't think so, because there are certainly white individuals on chain gangs and probably Asian and Hispanic.
Okay, but am I being offensive to people who were on chain gangs? And were they now? It's a
yes.
Trigger. It reminded them of a very unpleasant time in their life, and I should not wear that costume.
You're definitely being rude to people who have been on chain gangs. They would promptly tell you that it's tough to be on a chain gang. It's no picnic. But, of course, the easy way for them to stay off the chain gang is to commit no felonies. So we'll say that's a wash. But I don't think... I don't know. But, you know, what if you go dressed as Cher? You know, that used to be a popular costume. Somebody would dress as Sonny and Cher. Are you appropriating her culture or career or...
Isn't she part Native American? Aren't you being culturally offensive?
She would have to have some non-European blood, I would think.
Native American.
That
beautiful long hair.
Makes sense, yeah.
But so, I don't know. So where do we draw these lines? In other words, who is going to be the Where was it? The other year, there was a Catholic school that was going to preview the girls' prom dresses beforehand to let them know if they were appropriate. Should we set up the Bureau of Halloween Non-Offensiveness? And in this bureau, we hire thousands of people to pass on costumes that you might be thinking of going out wearing. And if you submit your costume and they approve, you get a big stamp in your forehead that says, I'm okay. Then you can go trick-or-treat.
Well, how about this? How about if before you select or develop or compile your costume, you ask yourself, does this in any way make fun of or disparage a culture or a type of person? You know, if you went as, dressed in blackface, we know that that's not because of the way that blackface was used in a disparaging manner for African Americans, we know that that's pretty much never acceptable today. So that's a good example of a costume or a makeup in that case, that is disrespectful. So
here's what our producer has found out what they did.
Okay.
It ties in with what you're saying. Some of them wore sombreros with the words Jose Cuervo on their shirts. The students made chinky slanted eyes, said junior Vi Buey, who called for the photos deeply disturbing. My question is, how many games are these players being benched for? Boys from the soccer team dressed as Mexicans, stereotypical Mexicans, one person said. The photos show the athletes wearing thick black mustaches with sombreros with the words Jose Cuervo on their shirts. Another picture shows one student donning a traditional African garb called a dashiki. One student who mocked Asians wore a pointed hat with soy sauce packets hanging around his neck. Okay.
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
But it is funny in a way. So soy sauce packets, I don't associate Asians with soy sauce packets hanging around somebody's
Well,
neck.
No, he's. I might that's think it's, the comedy part. That's
I
the
might
joke.
I think it's stupid.
That's the punchline.
Okay. So. I might think it's stupid, but what about pointed hat? How is that?
Quite a hubbub for some inappropriate costumes.
And the fact that they have the words Jose Cuervo, maybe they're imitating the character of Jose Cuervo, who sells tequila, doesn't he? Isn't that what the Jose Cuervo is, tequila? Rob, you put it up here,
I do not know. I think he's a labor leader.
No, I don't think so. I think he makes tequila. He may be fictional. He may be real.
I'm not up on my tequila.
And another student donning a traditional African garb called a dashiki. Now, it doesn't say he did anything other than that.
So that's.
I think he was in blackface.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Doesn't say that, though.
No, it doesn't in the article, though, but I saw other articles that kind of inferred that.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a no-no today.
So, a stereotypical Mexican wears a sombrero. Do Mexicans wear sombreros?
I think under the right circumstances, they do. That's where the hat came from.
And why is that mocking? Isn't that a symbol of who they are? I mean, they wear sombreros to
maybe
keep the sun off their heads. Very practical hat, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe it's more than just wearing the costume. It's how you behave or what else you do. Or do you have soy sauce packets tied to you? did they do something else? In any event, the question is, we go all the way back around to what I said a moment ago, and that's this idea, before you do a costume, is it in any way disparaging or disrespectful of a culture or people or race? And I think that's a fair question to ask. And on a college campus where they try to they seem to have come up with these superlatives that everybody has to adhere to. You have to be, inclusive and respectful all the time. Unless, of course, it's a conservative speaker that you disagree with.
Then you can
then
throw him off. Yeah, throw him off campus right away.
Incidentally, there's a conservative speaker coming to Bucknell this Thursday, and some people are upset.
Oh, I'm sure there will be a protest. Let's stop free speech, too. For heaven's sakes, let's stop it at once. It's terrible.
We will either be talking to her, the speaker, McDonald is her last name, Heather McDonald, this week, or we'll talk to that Professor Riley again on Sunrise. So we'll be talking about this at some point this week.
Let's take an Irish person, for example. Suppose you wanted to dress up as a leprechaun. Am I allowed as an Irish person to find an Irish ancestry person? Am I allowed to find that offensive?
What is your ancestry?
Irish.
Irish. Okay.
You dress up as a leprechaun, and I'm offended.
Do I
have the right to stop you from doing that?
I would say no, because is that not a fictional character?
well, it's associated with Ireland. It's the Notre Dame mascot.
Right. Does the leprechaun do something disparaging that is disrespectful?
Well, supposedly he drinks.
Oh.
And has a shillelagh and beats people over the head.
Oh, that's certainly... Well, that's wrong. We have to get rid of the leprechauns.
Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of
everything. What about trolls, you know, under the bridges?
I don't think they have a league or any group supporting them. I don't know.
Well, we know zombies. We've identified the American Association. Well, what was that group? The
American Association, the Benevolent Association of Zombies, BAZ?
No, it was the American Society of Zombies International Federation, or...
ASI.
As if.
As if, right.
As if.
But you mentioned earlier about going in blackface. Well, I have a great deal of admiration for Frederick Douglass. I'm reading a biography about him right now.
Yeah, start at the beginning on him.
Frederick Douglass. He was one of the prime movers against slavery in
the Civil Frederick War. Douglass. Okay, yes,
right.
We've certainly heard that.
Now, he had bushy hair. So suppose I wore, dressed up in 18th century garb and put on a bushy-haired wig. Didn't put on the blackface. Would that be offensive?
Well, is your goal to call attention to another great American who?
Well, what is ever the purpose of a Halloween costume? Is it to make fun of? Is it to be laughed at? To be, you know, to say, okay, well, this is funny. This, look at how you're dressed up. I mean, I have people come to my door this Halloween dressed as a lot of different things.
Let's get your costume ready. Who are you, Joe?
Well, I'm not a zombie.
Put your costume on.
I'm Frederick Douglass.
All right. Are you disrespectful of Mr. Douglass?
No, not personally.
Are you disparaging?
I admire him tremendously.
Have you worn anything that makes it a caricature of him?
Well, not if I'm dressed. Well, you could say the frizzy-haired wig because he had rather unruly hair.
I don't think it's a caricature, then. It's pretty realistic.
Right.
Okay, so, nope, that's a realistic,
right,
not
so
disparaging, it's just realistic.
Suppose I slicked my hair down and went as Frederick Douglass, and no one would catch any reference to him at all. I'm just saying how insane this whole thing has become.
I think it's insane if you make it worse than it is, but what it is why don't you just be respectful to people? This goes back to everything we've talked about, to Me Too movement and every other thing we've talked about. If you just behave respectfully to other people, I think you'll be on safe ground.
All right. Well, now let me ask you this.
We got
packets around your neck. Is that offensive?
I think that's making reference to a stereotype.
How?
A derogatory stereotype.
Soy
of
sauce?
Asians, that they only can cook Chinese food or something. I don't know.
Okay.
That's just a humorous add-on. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but please call us now, 1-800-795-9565. What's wrong with Joe McGranahan's Frederick Douglass costume? He's calling attention to somebody who helped move the American civil rights and post-slavery period forward in a big way, and his costume in no way is disparaging or disrespectful, and he's not wearing blackface, which calls attention to a later era, and it was almost always disrespectful. So he does not doing that. What's your view on this? How we're going to know it's him is another topic. But at least Joe's wearing a wig when he goes out on Halloween. His head won't be so cold. On the Market, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I've done, and within the past week, I've been to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get your snow tires on. That's what I do. And they specialize in all types of service, though, on vehicles there. They pumped me up with nitrogen and made sure that my tires last longer, run cooler, less temperature change between the seasons, and the tires just generally are happier. The Quick Lane is open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials. Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specification by going to sunbearmotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. My lovely bride tells me Jose Cuervo is the single most popular tequila in the world.
I found it interesting. I checked their website during the break, and they have no image of Jose that I found
so
on the web.
It's not a person, per se.
Well, it obviously is a person's name. Now, whether it was real or fictional, obviously there's a tequila company named after
him. What about the most interesting person in the world? What brand of booze did he push?
Dos Equis beer.
Oh, wasn't beer, it? Okay.
Right, he wasn't selling alcohol.
Not tequila.
Or not tequila.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It just seems to me like we've really gone overboard. The next thing that's going to happen is people will refuse to give candy to people wearing costumes they find offensive. I'm sorry, little kid. I don't like that costume.
No,
you don't get
pirates.
Any candy here.
No pirates.
No pirate. My grandfather was a pirate, and he had only one eye.
In Somalia, that could be real.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but it's sad. Then we have the other story that locally over the weekend is and this ties into something I've been sitting on and carrying this around for a while, the story of the student at Bloomsburg University who apparently did a video portraying a slave auction.
I guess that sentence is what everybody's saying.
Right. And it's a very interesting story by Carolyn Thompson of the Associated Press called School Struggle with How to Teach Students About Slavery. She said, "They made me a slave today." Anika Burton still remembers the way her then 10-year-old son Nico, who is black, recounted his experience to his grandfather after school one day. It was 2011, but Burton believed the classroom exercise in which Nico's classmates were encouraged to examine and pretend to bid on one another during a history lesson continues to affect his life, even now as an 18-year-old high school graduate. "He tries to act like it didn't bother him, but I really think it changed him," the Ganana, Ohio mother said. In those memories that leave her shaking her head years later as reports about mock slave auctions continue to emerge, reminders that schools are still struggling with how to teach about slavery and its impacts. And this I found interesting. There are no national standards on how to teach about slavery, although it is often recommended as a topic in curricula at the state and local levels, according to Lawrence Pasca, executive director of the National Council for Social Studies. The guidance leaves specific lessons up to schools and teachers who on several occasions have caused offense with attempts to bring history to life. An investigation by the New York Attorney General found in May that a mock slave auction that singled out black students at the private chapel school in Westchester County had a profoundly negative effect on all the involved students. Lessons designed to separate children on the basis of race have no place in New York classrooms or in classrooms throughout the country, James said. Another recent example included an escaping slavery game that gave North Carolina fourth graders a freedom punch card that read, "If your group runs into trouble four times, you will be severely punished and sent back to the plantation to work as a slave." Families also criticized a Virginia obstacle course intended to replicate the Underground Railroad navigated by third, fourth, and fifth graders pretending to be runaway slaves. And finally, "Teaching about slavery is hard," summarized a 2018 report from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which surveyed more than 1,700 social studies teachers and analyzed textbooks. "No national consensus exists on how to teach about slavery, and there is little leadership. It is time to change this state of affairs."
Hmm.
So slave auctions have been one way teachers have tried to do that. I mean, this teacher or this student at Bloomsburg apparently used the N-word as part of it.
Mm.
But that would be historically accurate if you were portraying a slave market. They didn't refer to them as this Negro gentleman over here. You know, they just didn't. And it was a tough and it was a rough business. And I can understand how in today's world, if a young white person is introduced to the idea of buying and selling a person just because the color of their skin is different, I would think that would make them ask questions. Well, what about you made you some somebody that I could buy or sell. What made you different? Is it anything other than the color of your skin? I would think that teaching that way would make kids think about it more if the teacher did their job. If the teacher just said, we're going to have a slave auction tomorrow morning, how much am I bid for Mark Lawrence? And, you know, it's funny because slave auctions used to be a very big charitable fundraiser where they would auction off eligible young men or, you know, slave for a day. You remember those?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess that's gone.
Oh, yeah,
by
they did that in college while I was there. Yeah, I got auctioned off.
Did you? Who bought you?
Well, she was pretty unhappy.
And how long did she get you
for? One afternoon.
But, you know, that this is a very difficult thing because I think teachers are trying to do the right thing by dramatizing the events. But at the same time, if you traumatize the students, and isn't a certain amount of trauma good if you're teaching something as despicable as slavery? The very idea that one person can buy or sell another is completely antithetical to everything the Bible teaches, in my opinion, and yet the Bible was used to justify it in the South.
What about instead of an obstacle course where Underground Railroad is depicted and it has a series of gauntlets for young people to pass, what if you have a walking Underground Railroad tour where you're going past various areas and you say this is the kind of a barn an individual would stay in, or you know about where there are some tunnels and some barns and some houses, and like in Baltimore, if you go there, they'll say, you know, this is historic house number XXX. This was a stop on the Underground Railroad or was
they have that
a sanctuary.
In Chambersburg, they have the John Brown House and the old jail. There were underground areas where the slaves were hidden.
To be continued. Joe and I are interested in this. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. It is Monday, November 11th, 2019. It is Veterans Day, a day set aside to honor all of the men and women who have ever served or who are serving in our nation's armed services. So WKOK, hats off to you. We salute you and thank you for your service. Very glad that you've done that for us on this Veterans Day. So thank you very much. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines here. Three suspects arrested after a shooting in Milton Sunday afternoon. What the role of each was and who was the shooter, still not known. Milton police say they got their men right after the shooting just before 4 p.m. on Elm Street in Milton. A victim suffered multiple gunshot wounds and is in the hospital. That individual's name not being disclosed. Names of the individuals stopped in a vehicle a short time later after a pursuit. Their names not being disclosed either. And Milton police say they'll be out with some more details ASAP on that topic. The State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs is encouraging Pennsylvanians to thank people who have served their country on this Veterans Day.
Department of Military and Veterans Affairs official Rick Hamp says Veterans Day honors those who have served the nation.
And to remind everybody that they have the freedoms they have today because of those who have served in the past and those who continue to serve today. I think it's extremely important that we all remember that. The freedom of speech, the freedom to think and feel how you want. You have those freedoms because our veterans served this nation, and they fought to make sure that those freedoms are available to everyone.
People are encouraged to attend one of the many Veterans Day ceremonies being held throughout the Commonwealth today. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In other news today, a Michigan man whose hobbies include ritualized combat with replica weapons from the Middle Ages says he wielded a battle axe he calls my baby to fend off an intruder. 36-year-old Ben Ball tells a TV station he was playing video games in his apartment in Michigan near Detroit late Wednesday when someone who he once dated his ex-roommate kicked in his door. He believed the attacker might be armed. Ball tells the station he grabbed the battle axe, took two steps forward, and struck the intruder in the torso. After the two grappled, the attacker fled. Police deployed a canine to track a trail of blood leading to 33-year-old Alex Lavelle Rawls. Kalamazoo County officials say Rawls spent the night in a hospital before going to jail. The TV says Rawls faces a home invasion charges, and the Michigan man, Ben Ball, says once again his baby saved his life. The battle axe. And finally, an Iowa appeals court has ruled against a convicted killer who says he died during a medical emergency and thus has fulfilled his life sentence. I'll say that again. You got to follow this. He says this man who has a life sentence, he's in prison, says he actually died during a medical emergency, so therefore he has fulfilled his life sentence. Wapello County court records say Benjamin Schreiber has been serving a life term since being convicted in 1997 of beating a man to death. Schreiber says his heart stopped five times on March 30th, 2015. He was at a hospital where been taken from the Iowa State Penitentiary. He filed for release in 2018. The district judge found little merit in Schreiber's argument, saying his filing confirmed he was actually still among the living. He may have died at one point, but he's not dead now.
Does it say you have to stay dead or just that you have to die?
In effect, that is exactly what it is saying. The appeals court affirmed the ruling, saying that Schreiber is either alive, in which case he must remain in prison, or he is dead, in which case the appeal is moot. So
during that period where he was actually clinically dead, they could have pushed him out the door and said, go on your way?
I guess so. It would have to be a pretty momentary decision. But yes, he would be done with his sentence as of that moment. But they brought him back to life, and so the life term takes back effect. Here's one
novel argument, though.
Here's one Monty Python fan who's glad that we finally know of somebody who's not dead yet.
Not dead yet, right.
So, just like, Mary, Queen of Scots. All right,
on Saturday Night Live, they used to do that about General Francisco Franco. There's a General Franco is still alive. They'd start off the weekend news update with that every week.
What would they say?
General Franco is still alive.
Okay, right. Okay, I remember
that. He was very old.
And then the land shark would eat him.
Somebody would eat him, yes.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Joe, I wouldn't use this reference, but the rest of this we could probably read.
All right. Report of a local. And we'll skip what the gentleman called the local.
Well, he's just a defendant. I don't know.
Throwing an axe at police officers without hitting them. In the same paper, a report of some guys opening an axe-throwing business so nutcases can go practice. I wouldn't want to be a policeman. It was bad enough when they could shoot you without the threat of being chopped up. Signed, Dave on the Hill. So, I don't know. If I were going to throw an axe at a policeman, I think I'd be aware of the fact that he had a gun. And he could probably shoot me before I could throw the axe at him.
Well, but see, axe throwing is becoming very popular. And believe
Why?
It, I don't know. No, I've never done it. I have no plan to. But people who do it say it's a blast. So, and it's fun. And the number of people who do throw axes for fun on a regular basis is growing. I have no idea why.
I heard an interesting story over the weekend. I guess I'm not telling tales too far out of school, but Bob Garrett at the Chamber told me that he took part in an axe-throwing event along with Representative Keller, and the Representative Keller couldn't get any of his axes to stick. So I guess that means Fred's not a very good thrower of axes.
Wasn't that funny? All that work with lumber along the way at Conestoga.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to do it. I'd be afraid to cut my foot off.
Well, you don't throw it at your feet.
Well, if you don't know how to throw an axe, throwing an axe could be a difficult proposition.
You throw it 12 feet away. Nobody gets hurt axe throwing.
Nobody gets hurt.
No.
Never happens.
Well, I'm sure you, I mean, you could have a little accident.
Yeah, right.
So you'd
your
say
foot off.
You would have an accident. You are, how many scars on your body from accidents?
None, because I don't throw axes.
Well, no, none from axe throwing. But how many scars are on your body from accidents while you were working on your house or something?
No, a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, you... You're not telling
a couple.
You're not telling the truth.
And then we had another email over the weekend. Apparently, your guest on Friday didn't exactly thrill some people.
He was a Democratic activist.
Okay. It said, it must be so breathtakingly scintillating, awe-inspiring, and ground-shaking for local liberals to hear the very voice of their dynamic, community-organizing, iconic, earth-shattering political pundit that is changing the landscape of politics in our valley. Oh, my. The future of any white privileged student in college and high school will be disenfranchised for life unless he or she practice inclusivity 24 hours a day. Deep equity and avoid civics, math, reading, English classes. These Republican-inspired curricula only rob Jordy's brothers and sisters of their true purpose in life, world love. Can we now have a Republican activist on a future show, if there is such a thing?
Every day is a Republican activist day around here.
Really?
Yeah, with you and...
You think I'm a Republican activist?
Well, you espouse conservative ideals.
That doesn't mean I'm an activist.
Well, you're old-fashioned. You think old
I'm
disrespectful old-fashioned. Ways of dealing with things are still okay?
Well, they are. Unless you run into a snowflake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens. See? There you go again.
I call you a snowflake. Oh, my gosh. Well, seriously, we've discussed everything else. We haven't gotten any takers. What do you think about impeachment, Mark?
Well, I don't think he's done an impeachable offense. I've said that before. I don't think he's going to get impeached, and I do think
he will be impeached. I just don't think he's going to be convicted.
Oh, yeah, he won't be convicted. I'm sorry. He won't get thrown out. Yeah, why don't we just hold the vote today? What is it the Democrats want to hear in these hearings today?
Well, I thought it was interesting that the Republicans came forward with a list of people they want to have testify, and that includes Hunter Biden. And, you know, the thing that gets me about both
MSNBC... He hasn't been convicted or accused of anything, right?
Well, he has been, as a matter of fact. The president thinks he's done something wrong, but it wants an investigation to determine exactly what it is.
He's never been formally accused by a law enforcement agency. He's not convicted of anything.
But what's interesting is that when they asked Joe Biden about this, he said that, you know, if he were president, he wouldn't want that happening. But he didn't then explain why it was okay for it to happen when he was vice president.
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the impeachment. Is it a crime to sell influence to other countries in exchange for investigating your political rivals? Is it even, of course, as we heard from Jordy taught me something Friday that you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a crime. Could be simply a moral failing as a leader in the U.S. that could lead to impeachment.
Not really. It's a high crime or a misdemeanor. There is no moral equivalency. There has never been an impeachment.
You don't
attempted.
Have to be formally charged with a crime in order to be impeached.
Well, if the Congress votes to do it, yes, you can be. We can call anything we want to a crime.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're starting to talk about the impeachment. Joe wasn't here, but he's arguing about what Jordy said, that you don't have to be convicted of a crime in order to be impeached convicted.
You don't have to be convicted of a crime. You are charged with a crime if you are impeached.
Right.
High crimes and misdemeanors are the only way you can be impeached.
But it doesn't have to coincide with another crime that you've convicted.
It doesn't have to be defined as a crime under the criminal code or the code of criminal justice.
Doesn't have to be extortion or anything like that.
But that's what they're claiming now, that the president extorted the Ukraine.
That's the de facto crime that the president did commit, but that's what every president does.
No, the call was perfect. Didn't you hear him say so 50,000 times?
Oh, no. Oh, he said it was perfect?
The call was perfect.
It wasn't a crime?
No, it wasn't a crime.
Oh. Never mind. We'll take a quick break.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
2018 data, including all Mahindra Group brand sales.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark, 1-800-795-9565. I was watching Meet the Press over the weekend. They had a field day at the president's expense. And
We know NBC is so fair and balanced.
I wrote down...
Pray tell, what did they say?
What the president's... Well, this is one of the guests. I forget which one they were recycling. Each segment's only like 3 minutes long. But anyway, in terms of the Ukraine, he's guilty of extortion. Refusing to honor subpoenas is a crime, not cooperating with, sending people to these hearings, that he's conducting political activity on company time. This idea that while you're dealing with Ukraine's funding and important national issues, he's doing political activity if he asks.
Well, then we would have no president at all, because they all do political activity in the White House.
That he's violating certain laws.
That's how they got there, you know.
In his tweets. And then he violates the emoluments clause. So that's I happen to have a post in handy, so I jotted this stuff down as fast as I could. But these are the actual crimes that, for which the president could easily be impeached.
Well, one of our texters says, is obstruction of justice a crime? If so, he is guilty as charged. Well, here's the question. There's all kinds of obstruction of justice. For example, if you know the police are looking for your cousin, Zelda, and you hide Zelda in the basement of your home, and when the cops come to the door looking for her, you say, I'm sorry, she's not here. You've obstructed justice.
And then she comes up from the basement steps and says, I'm sorry, I don't want to put my uncle through this anymore, or
but
you're my cousin.
That's obstruction of justice. But on the other hand, if I, as an innocent person, say, you know, hey, you know, knock this investigation off. You know, what are you guys trying to do? I didn't do anything. That could be construed as obstruction of justice.
That's what the president has done, and he's not in any trouble for that.
Well, he was up until the point they found this new piece of red meat, which is the Ukrainian situation.
Well, he committed so many crimes. I mean, how could you keep track?
He hasn't committed any crimes that he's been convicted of.
Oh,
and
no.
He still hasn't been impeached.
Extortion, illegally failing to respond to subpoenas, not cooperating with authorities, federal political activity on company time, violating the laws that relate to secrecy of individuals, like keeping spies private and that kind of thing, in his tweets, and violating the Emoluments Clause. So those are the laws that he's broken. And these are just the ones I could write down.
Those are just accusations. None of those have been proven. None of them have even been charged at this point.
Well, they're still crimes. He just hasn't been convicted yet. He'll be impeached when the time comes. Are you okay, buddy?
No, I don't know where to start with you. I mean, I think there's certainly smoke there. I would be a fool not to say there's smoke in this situation.
Okay, but no fire.
And it needs to be looked at. It needs to be investigated. But what I'm upset about is that I don't think it's being done fairly. And I think they've already
started
with their conclusion. They've started with the conclusion that this man needs to be removed from office. They announced it on day one. Leaders of the Democratic Party said the day after he was elected, let's impeach him. They wanted to impeach him before he was elected, but they couldn't.
Right, because he's not
in yet. So I don't find it within my heart to say I believe Adam Schiff is running a fair and impartial investigation aimed solely at getting at the truth.
What about the fact that since being in office, he has committed all these infractions?
Well,
I mean, I understand what you're saying, that they definitely had it in for him when he went in there, and he would have had to stay in compliance with all laws to stay in their good graces, if they're not in his good grace or their good graces, they already don't like him.
You say he's committed these things.
He's, now that he's in office, he's committing actual crimes.
You say that, but he hasn't been charged with them.
Well, either is Hunter Biden, but it doesn't seem to stop anybody from saying, well, he's a bad man.
I don't say he's a bad man. I think that he's certainly profited from his father's position. I don't think they would have picked Hunter.
Which is perfectly normal in
Washington. If Hunter Biden hadn't been the son of the vice president of the United States, do you believe Burisma would have hired him at $50,000 a month? Are you that naive, Mark?
They
hired him for one reason. They wanted access to the vice president.
This name-dropping and connecting yourself to famous and wealthy people in Washington.
It's done all the time.
Right. It's perfectly normal. And that's what the president is saying about the horse trading that he was doing, hoping for the investigation of Hunter Biden. Or actually, what he says now is that he was only pushing for an investigation of corruption.
That's what he asked for.
Right. So he's switched.
He did not say, in anything I've heard, he did not say, I want dirt on Joe Biden. He encouraged an investigation into that.
I will concede that's a plausible lie, because if he never actually says Hunter Biden on this call, which is probably very careful not to mention that. He was probably advised, listen, you can ask for all the investigations
the call
you
was perfect.
Want. That's true. Maybe it was. If it gets him out of being convicted in the Senate, then it probably was perfect.
You know, and I think that he made an interesting point over the weekend where he said to fellow Republicans, don't fall into the Democratic trap of saying, well, the call would have probably been ill-advised, but it wasn't an impeachable offense. He's saying that it was perfect, there was nothing wrong with it. And I don't see in that conversation a quid pro quo. Now, people who are testifying that the so-called transcript is incomplete and that he said other things that weren't in there. But that should be the subject of investigation, if he did or he didn't. And again, who's testifying? Who's saying these things? The whistleblower won't come forward, and Adam Schiff said
he's just a tipster. He doesn't have to. The person who calls 911 doesn't have to testify against a person.
But they always ask your name when you call 911.
Well, I guess that's true, but you remain anonymous to the perpetrator. I'm sure that would happen.
Not if I have to wind up testifying. In other words, you can't just say, Bob Smith commit a murder, and then Smith is charged, and you never have to testify.
Regardless of any bad analogies I use, the bottom line is the U.S. whistleblower law that you were fine with until it started to besmirch your wonderful president.
No, I am fine with it.
You want him to step forward and be identified.
The whistleblower law isn't designed to protect his identity. It's to protect him from being retaliated against.
Right, I'm aware. And the Facebook said they won't allow people. There have been people publishing his name on Facebook.
Speculation about his name.
Right.
Or her name. I didn't see any of that.
So they won't allow it. And it's funny, as soon as we posted this over the weekend, that Facebook won't allow that, somebody posted his name, and guess what? It's still there. Facebook didn't block it. So it must not be the right person. I don't remember.
Somebody you heard of?
It's kind of been circulating on Facebook. Okay. You know, they have a show of a picture guy. He worked for the Clintons and hated Republicans. He's a bad man in many ways.
Well, now there's an interesting set of circumstances.
Well, it's not the whistleblower because Facebook's not blocking his name.
Well, you would think if they were blocking the name of the original whistleblower, they would block the name of the one who was accused falsely of being the whistleblower, wouldn't
no,
you?
No, I don't think so. There's quite a few names out there on Facebook.
Care to circulate one of them here
today?
At least
a half a dozen. Well, I can look at our Facebook feed.
See who it is and what his background is.
What's wrong with the world? Well, I keep defending the idea of keeping the whistleblower's name private, and during a conversation with you, I look up the name of a potential whistleblower and read it on the air.
But here's
I'm not going to read it on the air. I'm only going to show it to you.
Here's the thing. The whistleblower has there's no right to retaliate against them. There was never a design to keep their name secret. The law was designed to keep them from being retaliated against in their employment. Mm-hmm. Because where do whistleblowers whistleblow? At work. They don't whistleblow in the street. They whistleblow at something they've seen in their place of employment that's illegal or criminal.
I didn't know whistleblow was a verb, but that is good to know.
It is today.
Right. All right. So I'm trying to find this. It's on CBS.
You don't have to bother with it. I just think it's, where we are in this process right now is kind of, I don't know, wasted. I understand that Nancy Pelosi will not bring up the new trade agreement because she doesn't want to give him a win. Can you name me anything else going on in Washington, anything about the people's business, either from the Republicans or the Democrats, that's ongoing right now that is, addressing some serious issue here in the country that's doing the job we sent them all there to do? Can you name me anyone doing anything other than impeachment at the moment?
Dan Muser comes out with a newsletter every week. I wouldn't know anything anything that he did. If he didn't come out with this newsletter, I'll read some of the highlights. But he's doing 100 things down there. He's a busy guy.
But nothing, no legislation is being enacted. No problems are being addressed.
No, but
we're not doing
something.
Anything about the border crisis. We're not doing anything about drug prices. We're not doing anything about health care.
Eric Clamorella. Clamorella?
Clamorella?
Yeah, here it is. I'll click on the meme.
All right. Well, that's the name that's circulating, you say?
Yeah, it's down there at the bottom.
Okay,
say that out loud.
They even have a picture of him. Eric Clamorella.
Right, and it's not him because Facebook is allowing this to go on. It says he worked with DNC operative Alexandra Chalupa in creation of Trump-Russian collusion hoax. He was fired from the National Security Council for leaking. He worked directly under James Clapper. He worked and traveled with Joe Biden. He served in the Obama administration, worked with John Brennan. And the worst crime of all,
yes,
he's a Democrat. Oh. He's a registered Democrat.
Well, that doesn't mean he can't.
Eric,
that doesn't mean he didn't see something that was, you know, wrong. I'm not saying that the guy did anything. He did the right thing. If he saw something that concerned him, he brought it up. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have to be identified. But it does mean that having been identified, he cannot be retaliated against.
Right. 1-800-795-9565. Please call us now. Talking about the impeachment. 1-800-795-9565. So our telephone number. Go ahead, Joe.
One of our texters or emailers says, the whistleblower is not necessary anymore. There is someone who had firsthand knowledge of the call because he was on it, and he will be testifying. Forget about the whistleblower.
All
no,
right.
I don't want to forget about the whistleblower.
Joke. Yeah, because this is part of your shtick. Oh, the whistleblower won't come forward because he's not innocent of anything.
He does have relative information about how this started. What was it about the call that made him concerned that didn't make all these other people who supposedly had firsthand knowledge concerned about it until he said something? You know, he obviously started some sort of an avalanche here, and let's find out why he started it. Cindy,
we're enjoying open phones.
You're on the mark.
What would you like to talk about today?
I would like first to say thank you to all of the veterans and active duty military folk in our community and to their families who I know, especially in the holiday season, you know, have a great deal of sacrifice that they make in terms of their family members. And then I want to raise this issue I see in the paper today that the lawmakers, the Harrisburg lawmakers, are looking at selling off the lieutenant governor's palace. And I am in total support of that. They can't do it fast enough as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why on earth we're providing housing for the lieutenant governor. I think that should be on him to provide his own housing, or her. So I think it's wonderful that they are looking at selling it. They can't do it fast enough as far as I'm concerned. I think that would be great.
You want the lieutenant governor out on the street?
I have no problem. Joe, please. I think the man can afford. We pay these people handsomely in hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I'd have to look it up to find exactly what his salary is.
Should the lieutenant governor have free lodging in Harrisburg?
No.
Nowhere.
Why should he have taxpayer provided? We don't do that for the legislators. We do compensate them for travel, and if they're traveling far enough, provide for them to stay, you know, in a hotel or whatever. Some of them have cleverly turned this into buying houses and paying the mortgage with that money, but, you know, with their per diem allotment. But for us to maintain this building so that this is at the this palace, basically, for the lieutenant governor, I think is ridiculous.
What about for the governor?
I don't think we should have a governor's mansion either, but I'm just trying to get a 50% compromise.
Yeah,
maybe the lieutenant governor could live above the garage at the governor's mansion.
Well, no one's living in the governor's mansion right now, as I understand it, because even Governor Wolf doesn't want to live in the governor's mansion.
But he does use it for entertaining and formal functions.
And to that end, I see leaving that thing in place, as long as it's used for, you know, Commonwealth functions. But to be paying for the staffing and maintenance and et cetera, this other thing. You know, it was the former Democrat in that house, in the lieutenant governor's house, and his wife's treatment of the staff that ran him so afoul of all of us and ended up in them taking away the staff from the building. So, to that end, why were the taxpayers providing a maid and a groundskeeper and pool guy? And, I mean, it just becomes ridiculous. These are wealthy people, and they should be able to support themselves. No place I ever worked provided me with free housing while I did my job.
Okay.
And so I think it's time that these politicians pay their own way, just like everyone else. There are very few people, very few professions where we pay the housing and travel costs of people to and from their job. Are there ones? Yes. But they are certainly the minority. And I think these politicians ought to be able to pay their own way. That's what I think. We pay them handsomely. If you're making more than $100,000 a year, buy your own house.
All right. We got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yes, she said an important sentiment. We thank all of our veterans today, so we really appreciate that.
Amen.
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we got Chris standing by, and we got one text, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. We were talking about the impeachment, and Joe still wants this whistleblower's name made public so he can face his accuser. Come on, Joe.
WKOK.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Joe, the text connect message, if you would, please.
It says, good morning. What is going on in Washington is Trump is reversing all good bills passed by Democrats. Republicans won't take new bills on in the House.
Right,
so Republicans don't have any control of what gets brought up in the House.
Right, so this is the lack of, not only is there's negative progress in Washington, not only are they not making progress, but they're making negative progress.
Going backwards.
Right. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing,
Hello.
Buddy?
All right. I missed the beginning of your show because I thought you might be having a repeat show, and I was up late last night watching the Lakers game.
All right.
But I did catch the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so, and I just wanted to talk about the whistleblower some. His information was hearsay. The person who really started the investigation was the Inspector General. Who's a Trump's appointee, I suppose calling him as a witness, if they want to call somebody, is pretty appropriate.
But didn't it start, Chris?
What he did about the investigation and why he forwarded it on.
But again, Chris, and tell me if I'm wrong, the Inspector General heard the whistleblower's report and decided that if it were true, it was serious and needed to be looked into. Am I not right?
He did an investigation on it, too. He went and talked to people.
Right, but he didn't. The whistleblower started the avalanche. Where were the people who actually heard the conversation? Why didn't they come forward? Why weren't they the whistleblowers?
I don't know. I guess you can ask the various people who have testified who heard it firsthand that they were upset by it.
And why they didn't come forward. And then we need to ask the whistleblower, what about it made him concerned when others weren't? We need to hear from him.
Others were concerned.
We need to hear from him. And we don't need to punish him. We need to hear from him.
But it's secrecy is part of the whistleblower law.
But the primary...
And he has nothing but hearsay to offer.
But look at what he started.
The guy who started the investigation was the Inspector General.
But the Inspector General didn't start it just because it was Tuesday. He started it because of the whistleblower.
He started looking into it because of the whistleblower and talked to people who did have firsthand knowledge, is what my understanding is.
Okay, so what we need to hear from the whistleblower is what about the call started him thinking that was wrong when other people didn't, why the Inspector General didn't take action on it sooner. You know, we just need to talk to him about it.
Who didn't
the thing
do it
is,
sooner?
The thing is that the whistleblower started this whole process, and we need to find out if his motives were clean. But we can't punish him. We're not going to punish him for it.
And if he had unclean motives, that makes his story false?
Well, then I think we need to look into that.
He was ritually unclean.
That doesn't make any sense. If somebody calls in and says, hey, I've been told that by people who were there that there is a murder that took place, and the police look into it, and they find out that, hey, there is something going on there, that there might well have been a murder, we better investigate.
Yeah, I think you would investigate a murder, I would think.
Yes. So, and we've had the first-hand testimony of people who who were listening who were upset about it. And we have people, other people who were told about it and were upset about it.
Okay.
So I what's the point of having somebody who has hearsay information testify when you already have people with firsthand?
Because of what they, because of what he started. He started this thing.
Yes.
And we need to find out what there was that alarmed him but didn't alarm all these other people who had firsthand knowledge of the conversation.
But they were upset.
They didn't report it. They weren't the whistleblowers.
They didn't report it.
That's right. They didn't report it.
They talked to this guy and were upset about it.
So now all of a sudden it becomes, oh, well, the whistleblower said it. I'm now upset, too.
But yeah, and he's supposed to have secrecy in his report.
Okay, well,
according to the law, right?
Well, he's supposed to not be retaliated against. I'll agree to that, and I don't think he should be.
He's also supposed to be able not to be identified.
Right,
that's part of the law.
He's allowed to be anonymous. The law allows anonymous.
Yes.
Joe doesn't get that.
He can also come forward.
But since he's picking on Joe's president, he wants the whistleblower to be outed and ridiculed.
No, I don't want to be ridiculed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, if he had come forward and said the Democrats were doing something bad.
If it's supposed to be, the information's supposed to be inaccurate, if he had motives like thinking that this was wrong, I mean, it sounds pretty wrong to me to start with, right?
Not really. I think the call was perfect.
Oh, you do. And you mentioned he didn't mention the Bidens. He did mention Biden in the phone call.
He did. Okay. All right. Wrap it up, Chris. We got callers coming in and callers waiting. Go ahead.
Well, it's obviously this guy doesn't have firsthand information, and there's a law that protects him from being identified. So why he's already said he'll answer written questions.
Right. This is Joe stuck on this. This is a piece of undigested meat in Joe's craw.
As long as he doesn't have to talk about the facts of the matter, he's quite happy.
Exactly. Yeah, the process is terrible.
The facts are that the whistleblower started this whole mess, and we need to know what motivated him.
Yes, we do. Yes. All right. Thank you, Chris.
How is his motivation going to affect the facts? If the facts are correct,
it will.
It doesn't matter what his motivation is.
Because they could be alternate facts.
Where do we get those?
The guy who tips off the police might be a rival mob boss, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that happens. All right, thank you, Chris.
And he only has hearsay, so he can't testify against the guy in court because it's hearsay.
Bye, Chris.
Thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
I really appreciate it. Al, thank you for waiting. You are on the radio.
You're welcome. I was calling because I was watching CNN and MSNBC and Fox this morning. I like to bounce back and forth like Joe does. And Fox has a whole bunch of veterans on there, and they're honoring veterans, and they're letting the veterans state their, reasons why they joined the service, and just paying honor to them and paying, respect. But over at CNN and MSNBC, I didn't hear the word veteran one time. All I heard was impeachment and this and that. So they're really stuck on that. And the law is on the inspector general is the only one that can't get that name out.
What were you watching?
The
Today Show?
Says,
No. New Day and Morning Joe and Fox and Friends.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the law, and the inspector general is the only one that can't give that name out. And the Constitution says you have a right to face your accuser. So if this ever does go to trial, that's the time they put Eric's name out. That's the one Rush Limbaugh had. And Eric was fired for leaking when he was working at the White House. He was fired for that. So he does have a little bit of a vendetta if it is him. And if it isn't him, and they're allowing that name to be on there, aren't they endangering an innocent man? And
it would seem
in the same way.
It would seem it would be even worse if the name wasn't accurate, because they would be
exactly
putting someone at serious risk, perhaps.
Yes, and a lifetime of it. just like the Covington kids, you know.
I was always taught if you have a belief, you stick up for it and you own up to it and you say, this is my belief. And if he believes that, you know, she should have come forward, in my opinion, with all the protection of the whistleblower law, but just say, hey, I don't want to be retaliated against. I don't want my job to suffer, but I'm going to tell you who I am and what I believe and what I saw and what I heard.
That's a good one.
And if you were ever falsely accused of anything, you know that it is not a great feeling. I mean, it, being falsely accused of something that you didn't do, you look forward to the day where you can say, all right, I want to meet my accuser. I want to hear him say it right to my face in front of this whole courtroom and all these jurors that I did this. And if he can do that, then he really believes I did that, or he doesn't mind perjuring himself.
Well, but you and I must have missed
comes, it. That's what the Constitution says. We have a right to that. And the president is a citizen, too, so he has the right to every right that we have.
Well, you and I must have missed the beginning of Morning Joe, where one of our listeners did not. He says, to your last caller, the first thing MSNBC said was thank you to all veterans on Morning Joe. I did not see the beginning of the show. I was watching New Day on CNN when it started. So
read that next text, too, that relates
okay,
to this.
Okay, it says, and for On the Mark, since when, if you are concerned about something, a crime, just because you don't agree with something does not mean it is a crime, which is what the whistleblower is saying. They said they were concerned about the phone call.
Exactly. It's not a crime, and he's doing his duty. And then everybody says he's going against a political opponent, Joe Biden. Well, he's not going against Joe Biden, the political opponent. He's going to find out what Joe Biden, the vice president, did in the 2016 election.
And you know what?
Nothing to do.
Every time MSNBC or CNN mentions the president wanting to look into the Ukraine's impact, if any, on the 2016 election, they always say the completely debunked report. They always describe it as completely debunked.
That. They say he's never been charged, accused, or even investigated.
No, they say that the idea that the Ukraine was involved in meddling in our elections has been completely debunked. I am yet to see the debunkation.
I don't think it's been properly investigated.
I don't think the debunkation has occurred.
Well, they're saying it is. MSNBC and CNN describes it always.
If they were debunking, I'd know it.
You can believe everything on the Internet, too. So, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Al.
Bonjour.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in today. Super. It's always
welcome.
Super to hear
Thank
from
you.
You. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got Dick standing by. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dick is next and Peggy's waiting, so please go right ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Well, I'll make this quick. You know, you keep saying that he can't be retaliated by his employer, but I could see a zealot Trump supporter eventually eliminating him from the face of the earth. I mean, there's so many of them out there that have all kinds of whatever derangement. Some of them, say, with any politicians.
Well, yeah, any overly zealous.
And I could see somebody eliminating him from the face of the earth and thinking nothing of it.
Yeah, any overzealous follower of any political leader.
So, that's what I'm saying is, and that if it happens, it happens, and it wouldn't surprise me someday if somebody would just do that.
Okay.
Well, President Obama allegedly fired the whistleblower on Fast and Furious. Now, I don't know whatever happened to him. Did he survive that?
He's gone from the face of the earth.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I don't recall the followers of Obama at the time being as the zealots that some of the Trump supporters. I'm not saying every one of them, but there's a lot of them are very zealous. You know, it's the way you see them at the rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And he encourages them to, not to kill people, but to assault people. He's done that and is already at his rallies.
Yeah, it's the people and the...
My point being is it wouldn't ever surprise me if that happened. That's just, I'm just trying to...
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Dick.
Peggy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We got one on the air and one coming in. Go ahead, Peggy.
Good morning, everyone, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to wish the active duty military and all of our vets a happy, safe Veterans Day. My son's in the Navy right now. He's on his way to another destination to find a place to live. He's been at Norfolk Navy Base 6 years, and he's going to be going down to Stennis Naval Air Center, Mississippi, which is part of the NASA space program. So anyway, I'm just so proud of him. He's been in about 13 years in the Navy. Also, I thank all the vets who have already served. His dad was a Vietnam vet who's deceased now for medical reasons. But anyway, his uncles and cousins were in the Navy and the Marines, and I'm proud of all of them and of all of our vets here in the area. I just want to thank every one of them for putting their life on the line and being away from family and loved ones and sacrificing to keep our country free.
Amen. Thank you so much, Peggy. That. Appreciate your call.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling in, Peggy. Appreciate it. Let's see. Frank, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Happy Veterans Day, and a salute to my great grandfather and my sergeant, Mattis. They were servicemen. They have passed away. I was traveling to Scranton, and once I lose WKOK traveling, I'd go to once I lost KOK, then I'd go to WILK, Frank Andrews Show. And on the way back, he pronounced, I think it was on Monday last week, we're not going to talk about Trump days this week. We're going to talk about local elections. And I guess they have the first female mayor of the city of Scranton. But listen, they really stuck to it. They told the people, we're not talking about Trump. We're taking 2 days off. We're going to talk about... So it might be something healthy for you guys, just a no-Trump discussion topic, anything else but about the, you know, investigation. So,
well, we tried that.
Did you hear the start of the program? Frank, did you hear the start of the program?
No, I wasn't with you this morning.
Well, we try. We've tried every day. We've started the program with some different topic. For the past week.
Good topics.
Good topics. That, interesting topics.
Oh, yeah. I jumped in on a few last week, and I remember.
And we wound up talking to each other. So
Frank would hang up on them. Just go.
Well,
go
we're not that rude. If the callers here dictate the course of the program. It's
That's
not
true.
Us. We'll take whatever you want to talk. And Mark always says it's an open phones day, whatever topic.
Well,
even though sometimes.
Huh? Don't say it's open phones.
Yeah, we said that a couple times. You know.
All right, have a great day, guys.
Thanks for calling,
thank
though. And you call back and change the topic any day.
Yeah, we have tried on multiple occasions with things that in previous years would be good, vibrant topics that people would weigh in on this holiday, the Halloween costumes that people say are disrespectful would have, and in the past has been a hot topic. Now it's kind of morphed onto university campuses, but before then it was sort of just in the general public. And we would get a lot of calls, but now it's just people are biting their time until we get to the impeachment.
So last week, it's okay to be white at Susquehanna University. We had like five or six different topics each.
No, I know. It's okay to be white. That would be a killer in the past.
Oh, yeah. That would have generated
so many calls. But
no,
everybody's just okay. They're talking about something else while we wait for impeachment.
Well, you know, it is. The thing that bothers me about impeachment is what I said earlier. Nobody's called to refute what I said, and that is that none of the people's business is getting done. You know, all the politicians are so wrapped up in this that they're not doing things like the trade agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And I guess that's because they don't want to give Trump a win. But it's important that we get that up and get a vote on it. It's important we do something about drug prices. The Republicans have offered no plan for health care. The Republican Democrats have offered one that's terribly expensive. You know, but we need to do something about it. We need to address that issue. We need to address border security. We need to address a lot of different things here, and none of it's getting done.
Congress was out of session last week, and Dan Muser, the congressman, said, he voted on Election Day. We had meetings with constituents and interest groups throughout the week, and he highlights some of those. They relate to the Pennsylvania Utility Commission, the telecommunications. He's got a long list of things that he did last week. And I know Fred Keller was all over the district. So they are doing something.
But not in Washington.
Not in Washington.
I'm not saying they're not working. I'm just saying the people's business isn't getting conducted in D.C.
This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.